Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And are you concerned about what Biden is doing to the food supply? We've been through it all. 18,000 cows, poof, blown up. 111 food processing plants destroyed, not one federal investigation. And then we're starting to look at new executive orders coming out, limiting methane and nitrates. Well, we're already at cattle levels, 60-year lows, and this is going to make it a lot worse. Do you see a pattern here? Pretty soon, my feeling is that food's going to be used to make you bend the knee, and the only food you're going to have access to is what's in your home. So may I suggest you go to My Patriot Supply, take advantage of their great sales and specials, 25-year shelf life, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 2,000 calories per day. And I would suggest you order as much as you possibly can for every member of your family. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. Also, too, if you're not concerned about CBDC coming in following the Fed coin, you're not paying attention. And that's why you tune in. So not meant to be a criticism, but I'm going to warn you about something right now. You really need to get as much money out of the bank as you can and get it in something that's stable. Precious metals is escalating like crazy. I was actually reading something from JP Morgan. They said they're not laughing when people say gold could reach $20,000 an ounce. I'm not predicting that, but I think that illustrates a trend curve, a severe trend curve we're going to look at here. So what do? Do you want to stay in the bank and have the Dodd-Frank law kick in where they can take all your money and call it a bail-in? I don't think you do. So what you need to do is to let me send you a free information packet that will show you what our sponsor, Noble Gold, can do for you. Now, I have been an advertiser for Noble Gold for 6 years. I've been a customer for five. That's right. I put my money where my mouth is. And I trust them to save my retirement. I trust them to preserve my wealth in my bank accounts because I've transferred a lot of it. I just have operating capital in the bank. So may I suggest you do the same? Look into it. I can send you a free information packet. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And here's where I have to give the required FTC warning that unfortunately was not offered to customers of FTX who went belly up. Past performance is no indicator of future performance, and every investment carries an inherent risk. Let me remind you, I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 5 years. I'm just saying it's the best organization I've worked with, and may I respectfully suggest you look into this while you still can. Well, we have a terrific guest with us today. It's been a while since I've been on, Darren Weeks, and I've known Darren way, way back to our RBN days, and absolutely fantastic. The RBN network was strong and viable, and they still have some good people on there like John Moore, and I pop into his show quite a bit. But we've kind of moved on to other things. We're both independent and both seem to be enjoying life and doing well. And I've asked Darren to come on and share his views on some current events. And we're going to start with the Durham Report. So first of all, Darren is the host of Govern America. You're still hanging in there strong. Before we jump into this, and so I don't forget and have bad manners, tell people a little bit about your show.
Well, Govern America has been around for a long time, many, many years. I think we started hosting, filling in for my friend Chris Gerner, who's sad to say he's passed away now. I think it was right around 2015 that he passed and died of a heart attack in his yard. And, you know, it's pretty devastating news for all of us because Chris was very much a mentor to me. And he's kind of the reason. I was already in broadcasting professionally, but Chris is the reason why I'm a talk show host. He kind of got me involved in that whole thing, you know, aspect of it. And so I kind of started off filling in for him on his show, American Exposé. And then from that, you know, Jackie Petru quit her show at some point when her shortwave got to the beat. You know, they were messing with her. They were messing with her shortwave stuff. And it got to the point where nobody was able to hear her anymore. And I documented that, by the way. That was WWCR. And I actually was recording her show at the time, and 15 minutes prior to the start of her show, there was all this noise that started getting involved, you know, the beeping and weird staticky stuff. I mean, it was crystal clear in the show before that. About 15 minutes, that noise started fading in, and by the time Jackie's show would come on, it would be impossible to hear her until after she was done. And then gradually over the 15 minutes after she went off the air, guess what? The signal just magically cleared up again. So these are the kind of games they play. And so she eventually had to quit her show because she couldn't pay the bill anymore, because nobody's going to pay for shortwave time for a broadcaster if they can't hear the broadcast. And so that was, so I kind of took over her show for a while until eventually I decided to, you know, we needed our own name. And so that's when Govern America was born. And I was amazed that the .com was still available. And so anyway, here we are. You know, that was one of the things I wanted to make sure, that we had a .com versus a .org or a .net, because at the time the internet was still being somewhat new, and you had, you know, most people just immediately would first try the .com stuff. And so I wanted to make sure we had that. So anyway, long story short, early 2000s probably, we started doing Govern America, and I was on First Amendment Radio Network first. Then we got the opportunity after a 6-month hiatus. Michael Powers called me and asked me why I'd quit, and asked me if I'd be interested in doing a show on RBN. So I did my first show there in June of, I think it was June 26, 2008, if I recall correctly, and went on there until, you know, many, many years later. And then eventually, you know, due to some technical issues and other things I won't go into, I finally struck out on my own, and we've been doing it on our own ever since.
Yeah, due to technical issues, I left RBN too, and other reasons I won't go into.
It's a good relationship with them. You know, I mean, I pop on some of the other shows. I got friends over there still. So, you know, it's a viable network, and it's still going on, and I'm glad it is, you know. And, you know, I do wish them well.
I do too. They seem to have stabilized. That's my sense. And it's because they got some rock solid people like John Moore. And John's gone through the tough times. I mean, he could have bailed too. He did really well. I mean, he's done really well. In fact, I'm a regular guest on his show, and he's covering a lot of good stuff. So anyway, we kind of brought up the pleasantries here about where we've been, but let's get into the Durham report. Part of me says the Durham report's really good, because it identifies some really egregious violations of law, but the Durham report's really bad, and I'll let you kind of fill in the blanks on both sides.
Well, you're right. It mentions a lot of things that the FBI did wrong. It mentions a lot of things that they could have done better, should have done better. And I think the problem, I guess the big problem I have with it is the fact that they're talking about things like how it doesn't rise to the level of criminality. And, you know, and they're very specific about why they're not going to prosecute people. And and there's a lot of things that need to be prosecuted, as you know. I mean, they stole. I firmly believe, it is my opinion, and I think probably many people in your audience would share the same opinion, that this last election was stolen. And unless we figure out how to right that wrong, then the next election will be stolen as well. You know, this Durham report, a lot of people, I guess a lot of people probably had some high hopes. You know, first of all, we don't have the full report. Parts of it are confidential. Parts of it are classified. They say that right in the report itself. You know, and that begs the question, why? You know, how are the American people able to govern our country as we should, when we're not even allowed to know, you know, half of what the country is doing in our name and with our money? So there's that point, you know, and it cites the Mueller report, which also didn't find any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And like I said, they spent plenty of time at the beginning of the report bracing everyone for why they're not going to, shouldn't expect any kind of criminal charges. And after outlining problems with institutional bias, you know, not properly handling exculpatory evidence, you know, investigating whatever political opponents, like the Clintons wanted, you know, political opponents of Trump, what they wanted them to investigate, not following the evidence, but following their biases, falsifying evidence to obtain FISA warrants, That's a big one. And they still don't recommend any publicly. They don't recommend any policy changes at the FBI. You know, after laying out all the problems, they say that we just think that the FBI should follow old policies. Well, obviously they're not going to follow. How about recommending terminations and criminal charges against the people who are not following the policies? These people sworn to uphold the Constitution and they're not following their oaths of office. How about recommending discharging the people from the agency and cleaning house? You know, all of these things the Durham report could recommend, and they don't. There was no mention that the FBI, and this is something I think that probably your listeners would not even probably be, most of them wouldn't be aware of. Did you know the FBI has an office in Ukraine?
Yes.
There's a National Anti-Corruption Bureau of Ukraine, and the FBI has an office there. This whole NABU, the National Anti-Corruption Bureau of Ukraine. I may have talked to your audience about this before on the show, but this whole thing was set up under the Obama administration, and they used this office to release unsubstantiated accusations against Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, which caused him to resign right before the 2016 election. So the Ukraine collusion, the Ukraine interference in the election was never addressed by the Durham report. Alexandra Chalupa, which is a DNC operative, she worked closely with the Clintons. She was a, in fact, she advised the DNC. She was a Ukrainian American, Ukrainian national. She's very close ties with the Ukrainian diaspora in the United States, and she worked with key officials inside of Ukraine, and she was the one that was instrumental in getting that information, that bogus information against Paul Manafort, that he had taken over $12 million allegedly from the party that was, you know, that the Obama administration ultimately overthrew in Ukraine. And none of that was mentioned in the Durham report. And that was an important element which caused Paul Manafort to resign. That was by the way, none of this is speculation or conspiracy theory. This was reported in the New York Times. There was an article which came out on August 14th of 2016 called "Secret Ledger in Ukraine Lists Cash for Donald Trump's Campaign Chief." And you know, they downplay the role of the Anti-Corruption Bureau, NABU, but they talk about the $12 million allegedly in undisclosed cash payments from Paul Manafort or for Paul Manafort. But see, here's the thing, and it's kind of interesting. I went over to because even the NABU website themselves, they admit to cooperating with the FBI, and they also admit that James Comey had an FBI office headquarters at Kiev, which worked on these international requests. And the exact quote was, "Since February 2016, the representative of the FBI has a permanent office in the NABU, and jointly with the NABU detectives, works on the execution of international requests and controls their passage through the competent authorities of the United States of America." Now, what's interesting about that quote is it came from a page that's no longer on the NABU website. They took it down. I went over to the Internet Archive, the Wayback Machine, and I found it. And they talked about this black ledger. That's what they called it at the time. And the party, by the way, was a party of regions. But they said, in response to numerous requests from mass media, this is from the page that was taken down, regarding appearance of the name of Paul Manafort on the Party of Regions Black Ledger documents passed to the National Anti-Corruption Bureau by ex-First Deputy of the State Security Service of Ukraine, Viktor Trepak. The National Anti-Corruption Bureau informs on the following: Paul Manafort is among those names on the list of the so-called Black Ledger of the Party of Regions. which is investigated by the detectives of the National Anti-Corruption Bureau of Ukraine. According to the list, a total sum of over $12.7 million was allocated on the costs associated with this person since November 20th, 2007. The last entry on the list about P. Manafort is dated on October 5th, 2012. Now, and then they say this, which I found very interesting. They say, we emphasize that mentioning P. Manafort's name on this list does not mean that he actually got the money, because the signatures that appear on the column of recipients could belong to other people. So they put out this information about Trump's campaign manager, and they can't even say that he even received any money from the party. And but it was enough of a controversy that caused him to resign right before the 2016 election. So this is foreign meddling in the election at the behest of Hillary Clinton, the DNC, Alexander Chalupa. And there's no mention of it in the Durham report. I searched. I did a search. Alexander Chalupa is not mentioned anywhere that I can find. I think that's kind of significant, don't you?
I think it's highly significant. You know what this reminds me of? Hillary Clinton's bleaching of the emails and Comey's response.
I thought of the same thing, because he said he admitted it all happened, but it doesn't rise to the level of a criminal indictment. You know, and here's the thing about it. Isn't that the place of a grand jury to decide whether or not something rises to the level of a criminal indictment?
Yeah, you.
I thought that was the whole role.
That only works if your name is Donald Trump,
or Darren Weeks, or Dave Hodges.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, they're after us. Trump is only on the way, right?
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not a massive Trump fan either. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about Trump. I kind of feel like he let us down in many ways. But at the same time, you know, if these situations are not fixed, we can't have a fair and honest country, and we certainly can't have a fair and an honest election. You know, and so while you can get down in the weeds about elections and what went wrong with certain things, and many have, the problem is that unless you have a means to prosecute these crimes, And we have a highly corrupt Department of Justice right now. It's they don't even try to hide it anymore. That's the amazing thing about it.
Yeah, it's not just the DOJ, though, Darren. It's all the way down to the county and local level. I see that in Arizona. We're the den of corruption. I don't know if you're familiar. Are you familiar with the Liz Harris case?
I'm not sure.
Okay. She was before she got elected in this last election to the state house, she and I were, I'm trying to say this modestly, if you wanted to know how the election was stolen in Arizona, Liz and me were two places you'd go. She actually had a team canvass Maricopa County and found 300,000 illegitimate votes. And all they did was walk up and say, does John Jones live here? And the John Jones that said they voted from this address? Oh, no, John Jones moved to Ohio 20 years ago. Oh, no, John Jones is dead. She found 300,000 cases like this in Maricopa County. So she gets elected, and she was told a month before she took office that Ben Thoma, the Speaker of the House, was laying in wait for her, that if she brought up her election integrity nonsense, even though she was part of the Election Integrity Committee, that she'd be expelled. And she was asked to bring in guests for the election integrity. She set up for this. She had three guests. The first two canceled. The third one was a group of RICO investigator. In other words, they did this for a living for the federal government. And they came in and they alleged money laundering schemes involving top-level politicians. They named names. They had 20,000 affidavits, 120,000-page report. Each member of the committee got it. And Liz Harris invited this person to speak. But it was approved ostensibly by the Speaker of the House. And not only that, this other lady, Wendy Rogers, is in charge of crypto, which will be CBDC one day. That kind of tells you where she's coming from. She ran the meeting and praised the person at the end of the meeting. And this meeting got Liz Harris expelled from the House. And then the Speaker of the House goes on local TV and says, if you bring up election integrity, we're going to expel you too. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you got a committee called Election Integrity. It's both houses, select committee. And this guy's saying, if you bring it up, we're going to kick you out just like we did Liz. This is how corrupt it is in Arizona.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then you pick your state because it's the same way in Michigan. I mean, we have all kinds of corruption here as well, and you're not allowed to question it. And that's the amazing thing about it is after Trump was elected in 2016, that's all the Democrats did was, say that the whole thing was stolen by Russia. And certainly the Mueller report proved, that that wasn't the case. They found no evidence of that. And this Durham report, the good about it is that it just kind of reiterated that and also talked about all the fraud and stuff they were trying to do. Another thing they didn't mention in the Durham report is the collusion with Twitter, Facebook, social media companies. That there's no question that that is, I think that that needs to be investigated. But here's the thing. We know the terms of reference are set for all of these investigations. And if it's not in the terms of reference, that's basically the lines that they have to color in. And that's how they control the output of all these investigations. But I really think that, just like the CIA and the Mockingbird exercise with the major media, which I think all that continues to go on today, they may have changed the name of the program, but I think, Mockingbird is something that isn't even needed anymore. I think all the major media networks, and probably even the minor ones, are so infiltrated now with CIA that they don't need to have programs to plant stories and use friendly journalists because they own it all. They own all the journalists. And so how do I guess I, one thing I do find encouraging about all of this is there's some evidence now. I mean, in fact, they just put out a poll. Steve Watson reported on this that there's a number of Americans that are no longer believing this major media narrative anymore. There was a Harvard-Harris poll, which basically reiterated that the major media is out of touch with everyday Americans. I mean, they're not buying it anymore, and that's the good thing about it. People have learned that they have to start doing their own research, and I think that the Patriot effort has made major inroads in that regard. We've awakened a sleeping giant. I remember, and I'm sure you remember too, back when we started on the radio, Dave, we were talking a lot about waking up America.
Yes.
Most of the American people did not know what we know. Now it's everywhere, and now they're trying to do everything they can to try to figure out how to put the genie back in the bottle with internet controls, censorship, but it's all transparent. It's all very obvious, and I think it now the strategy has changed. Rather than trying to control the narrative as much, they'll just lie right to your face and the most absurd, insane stuff and expect you to swallow it. And so they're getting more and more desperate, and they show their hand the more desperate that they get. With this latest thing, though, the Durham report, it disturbs me that they can't even mention people like Mikhail Khodorkovsky. I think I've mentioned him on your show
Yes,
before.
we have.
Khodorkovsky, for those listeners that don't know, he was the Russian oligarch who was the wealthiest man in Russia. He was the founder of Minitep Bank, and he gained control of the Siberian oil fields in Yukos Oil Company through the corrupt voucher program that was put forward by Larry Summers, again, a close Clinton pal, and when he was president of Harvard. And he ultimately went to jail for 9 years in Russia for tax evasion when Putin came to power. But he passed his shares to Jacob Rothschild. He has close connection to Jacob Rothschild. And what's interesting about that is Jacob Rothschild sits on the board, or he did anyway, the strategic advisory board of a company called Genie Energy with none other than Rupert Murdoch. The same Rupert Murdoch that just fired Tucker Carlson because Tucker Carlson got too close to the truth with regard to January 6th. I really believe that's the truth, too. I think that's why Tucker got... I mean, she showed those tapes of the January 6th stuff, wanted to show more. I think he was shut down. He said there was more. And but Chuckie Schumer, Intel establishment shill that he is, got on the Senate floor and demanded, almost demanded Fox News and Rupert Murdoch to censor Tucker Carlson. They said, tell him he cannot do this anymore. And he didn't. And he was taken off the air shortly thereafter.
His biographer, Tucker's biographer, has come out. His name jumps out of my head, but he was a regular on the show. And he said he has the same information, that is part of the deal to settle with Dominion and Fox. Tucker had to go. And the biographer says he has inside sources that have knowledge related to the negotiations.
Yeah, I know that was part of the speculation, but that's interesting.
Well, the other thing I think is a factor here, I don't think it's a coincidence that BlackRock bought 15% of Fox 2 weeks before Tucker was fired. I think that was a factor, too. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if BlackRock didn't fund some of the settlement on behalf of Fox to get Tucker out.
I wouldn't be surprised at all about that either. I mean, they own everything else. BlackRock has, for those listeners, I'm sure Dave's listeners do know, but they along with Black Vanguard and State Street, just about own everything in the United States. If it's a corporation of any size, these top three companies are the major shareholders of all of it. So as much as we like to talk about capitalism and free markets and, you know, competition among corporations, there really isn't any at the highest levels.
No, none.
They're all
people. The name of that biographer I just mentioned is Chadwick Moore. So I just wanted to put that on the record here. I don't want people to think I'm just talking out of my rear end here. But Chadwick Moore,
yes.
And he's writing a book that Tucker has promoted and given permission. This is an authorized biography. So I think this is true. You know, the thing is we saw the Ray Epps deal, though, early on. I got to tell you, I got harassment for Ray Epps. This is kind of interesting. I had a lady contact me, and I had been talking about Ray Epps. Hey, why isn't Ray Epps arrested? And I'd play the videos. Look at this. Why isn't Ray Epps in jail? Why is he getting special privilege? Who does he really work for? And this lady called me and said, Ray Epps is my neighbor, and you need to lay off of him. And she enticed me to talk to her because she said she had information on something else, which ended up being totally bogus. And her whole deal was to penetrate my organization, gain my trust with a fake story, and try to convince me to back off the Ray Epps thing. So I even had some dealings with that, too. But, I mean, the Ray Epps thing is so obvious. I mean, he's saying, tomorrow we're going into the Capitol. We're going to do this and that. And the crowd started chanting, Fed, Fed, Fed. They saw right through the guy.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we had this hearing Thursday on the weaponization of government, where three FBI whistleblowers were there. And you had one of the Democrats, and she didn't even know the guy's name. She said Ray Epps is how she pronounced it. But she says, oh, it's a conspiracy theory and all this stuff, and you know, and all this fabricated stuff by the right. And I'm thinking, fabricated? What's fabricated? Are they saying that we generated the video by AI somehow of the guy saying go into the building tomorrow? I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, I don't know what her base... I think she was from California, so maybe they're totally in the dark, but in more ways than one, by the way, because the power grid ain't that great. But anyway, I don't know where she's coming from on this, because how can you say that Ray Epps is a conspiracy theorist, or the whole thing is a conspiracy theory, when you got the guy on video, and it's been played ad nauseum all over social media, and the major media when Tucker was there.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't understand. But the only thing I can figure is you have two realities in the United States. You got the official narrative, which becomes a reality in and of itself, and then you've got the truth. And these people are so devoid of the truth, they can sit there and lie and just keep repeating the lie often enough and expecting it to become the truth. But anybody that has an ounce of gumption to look into any of this can see it for themselves. I just don't know how you get the other part of the country that's still believing the nonsense to actually do a little research.
Well, there's some good news on that front. Famed rapper Ice Cube came out today, and he said, "You can't trust the Democrats. They've done nothing for our people." And he was speaking about African Americans. And he's absolutely right. It's just a bunch of empty promises. The guy that did the most for African Americans, women, and Hispanics with regard to job situation was Trump. So he's absolutely right about that. So people are seeing through it. But, you know, I think more than J6, I think there's another issue that got people excited. The Kennedy assassination revelation about the CIA. And it was really kind of an empty vessel report. I mean, he just said, CIA did it, da 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 da, we got information. And then it got shut down. But you got to remember, in the Trump years, the CIA was actually, all the Kennedy files were supposed to be released, and they weren't. Trump mm-hmm. somehow got convinced not to release them, and then Biden refused a deadline just a week before Tucker did his CIA deal. If you look at it, what's more damning? J6 malarkey with some guy who's obviously a Fed, but we don't know for who and what his mission was in Ray Epps? Or would it be these people actually killed a president, this organization? I would say the second one is the more important one, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And that's exactly really what they're doing to Trump as well. Not physically, obviously. I think that would be too obvious, but it could very well be at the time of the election. I mean, Trump could have multiple indictments, multiple charges brought against him, and here you got Biden knowingly accepting. Trump was impeached over the threat of withholding U.S. funds to Ukraine. Biden threatened, by his own mouth, by his own testimony at the Council on Foreign Relations, to withhold, I think it was like $6 million or something, if the prosecutor that was looking into Hunter Biden's criminal activities wasn't fired.
Oh, yeah. And he said, remember the quote? And they fired the SOB when I threatened him. Remember that? Yeah.
He said, and I quote, "Son of a bitch, he was fired." Exactly. That's exactly what he said.
Yes.
And you have him so brazen, getting up there and actually saying it, and nothing's ever done about it. But Trump just threatens to withhold money unless they do look into something, do perform an investigation, and he's impeached over it. This is the power that they have in the CIA, and Chuck Schumer said it himself. When you go up against the CIA, they have six ways from Sunday to get back at you. Well, if they have six ways from Sunday to get back at a member of Congress or at a president of the United States or anyone else, then they have way too much power. And the fact that they're not being looked at in the Durham report or any other report in Congress, to me, speaks volumes. This is the American enemy. It's an enemy of our country, and it's threatening to take us down. And frankly, I think it's threatening to drive us toward war. I mean, the CIA and the FBI, but especially the CIA, really needs to be reined in. And I don't know how we do it, Dave.
Well, John Kennedy had the solution, and I think it was part of his death warrant. He said, "I'm going to tear the CIA apart brick by brick. I'm going to break it into 1,000 pieces." And that's the way to go about this. The CIA does not work for the United States. They violate their charter every day because they operate domestically. But I don't know what the answer is. You know, Darren, I hate to sound pessimistic because I'm still fighting. But part of me is also moving to adaptation because we've lost every key power center in this country except the masses. And I'll give you an example. Here's the only thing that I think the people have left in terms of power. Bud Light comes out with tranny beer. And all of a sudden, Bud Light's broke. They can't even get bars to take free cases of beer to give away to customers. No one wants them. Disney is broke. Paramount is broke. All these wokesters are going broke. That's the power that the people still have. And it's not even organized power. It's just a collection of the majority of people in this country goes, "I don't want any part of this nonsense." And so they don't participate in it. And what people need to realize is the power of the purse. And this is why I don't know how you feel about it, but I think we might want to really give serious consideration if we can get more people involved in what we do to organize a tax rebellion.
Yeah, I think it's you and I think a lot alike, because I was thinking with regard to adaptation that really, I mean, there's at this point in time, and I don't want to sound pessimistic either. I don't think you should give up. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying anybody in the audience. It's getting more and more dangerous to speak out. It's very apparent. These FBI agents and that testimony on the weaponization of government, I think it's very clear if they go after these people for speaking out, they'll go after anybody. But we all have to speak out. That's the power in numbers. If everybody doesn't get cower into a corner and everyone gets inspired. I'm inspired by the number of people in Hollywood that have come out in recent years or recent, days even, and said, no, this is all bull crap. This pedophilia stuff is bull crap. The pushing of all these, gender bender agenda that's going on, which is being pushed everywhere. I mean, I can't go to Twitter anymore at all without seeing some tranny, disgusting freak in front of children, mask, rubbing
I
around,
hear you. I
and
hear you.
I mean, it's just, I say, dear God, please just make it stop, but at least we have some people in key positions that are having the courage to say, enough is enough for the sake of morality. And frankly, I think a lot of people on the left are very upset about the fact that they've worked for years seeing, trying to get women in key positions, trying to get equality for women, only to see them knocked out by some dude pretending to be a woman, or having women in locker rooms, being approached, or seeing a man showering there in a shower or in a locker room. I just saw the other day there was another track runner that was knocked out of a place by a male pretending to be a woman. So these kind of things, I think, are upsetting to a lot of the people on the left as well, including left-wing parents. They didn't sign up for all of this. But I think the problem now that we have is a lot of people are afraid to speak out. They're concerned about careers. They're concerned about being attacked. I mean, because these Marxists, and that's really what we're talking about here. This is cultural Marxism. We have agency capture at every level by the cultural Marxists, and it's the result, the end result of people sleeping, people not paying attention for many, many years. Leaving the profession of politics to the professionals. And this is what we get. And now people are going to school board meetings and they are speaking out against all manner of, pornography and stuff in the schools, grooming in the schools, gender, manipulation, your identity and everything. The kids are being attacked and groomed in the schools to be transient sexuals. And parents are upset about it, understandably, because and they also the schools are trying to keep them in the dark. And then you got the FBI going there, taking license plates numbers down of the people there that are at the school board meeting. That was one of the things that came out also in the weaponization of government hearing. You probably saw it, where one of the FBI whistleblowers was saying that they sent me to the parking lot to record the parents' license plates, and he was one of the people later on that went to a school board meeting and to complain about something that the school was doing, and his buddies in the FBI said, oh, they'll probably open an investigation against you next because he attended the school board meeting. But they did open an investigation against him because he didn't follow the line, and these people were speaking out in favor of the, against the narrative of January 6th. And what's interesting about that too? I don't know if you saw that hearing, but it was quite a lengthy
You're
hearing.
talking about the whistleblowers?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched particularly the O'Boyle hearing. The guy with the beard looks like a rock star. Yeah, I watched his, and I was they purposely tried to hurt him, and what I mean is they transfer him, and so he sells his home, They're shipping his clothes and everything, and he has a 2-week-old baby, and they fire him the first day, and they won't give him his clothes or his personal possessions. He basically was homeless.
Yeah, they lured him across the country to a new location, like you said, and invited him to buy, he bought a house because he thought he was going to be working there, and then they fired him. And then next thing you know, I mean, this is the kind of scum that we have running things. But one other thing that came out of that hearing that I thought was very important. Did you hear the testimony from George Hill from the Boston field office of the FBI?
Yes.
I hope you don't mind. I'd like to play that. It's a short clip,
Yeah, go ahead.
just about a minute and a half.
Sure.
I think if your audience didn't hear this, this is extremely important because it goes in line with, well, I'll just, this is George Hill. There was talk about the people that attended the Washington, D.C. rally, a political protest. I personally know somebody, by the way, who was going through a nasty divorce. It was his. He was a talk show host, that I'm friendly with, and he was going through a nasty divorce at the time. And his wife told the FBI that he had attended the January 6th rally, and up comes the FBI to his house and questions him about it. What we're talking about is a peaceful protest. There were the number of people that went inside the Capitol. That broke things, that stole things, that did other mischief, those were in the minority. The overwhelming majority were there as a matter of peaceful protesting, which is our constitutional right. You have a First Amendment right to protest. And what they're trying to do is make all dissent and all protest, anybody that doesn't go along, they're trying to make it illegal, they're trying to do a chill across the country of First Amendment protected free speech. That's what's going on here. But they were questioning in this, between the Boston field office and the Washington field office about whether or not to open investigations on some of these people. And George Hill was talking about this. He retired from the Boston field office, and he was discussing this. And they played this testimony at the hearing the other day.
The SSA in Boston said they were going to a political rally, which is First Amendment protected activity. No, we're not uploading. We're not starting cases on these people. To which they said, well, we're going to call your SAC. And the SSA said, go right ahead. Because when you're pushing back, you want to make sure that you have your six covered. So the SAC and the ASAC were intimately aware of these kinds of exchanges that were going on. And again, to his credit, Joe Bonavolonta said, no, we're not opening up cases on people who went to a rally. And I forgot a key part.
Listen to this.
The SSA for CT2 said, happy to do it. Show us where they were inside the Capitol,
Talk about the agents.
and we'll look into it. To which WFO said, we can't show you those videos unless you can tell us the exact time and place those individuals were inside the Capitol. To which the SSA responded back, and I was privy to these conversations firsthand. Why can't you show us? Why can't you just send us give us access to the 11,000 hours of video that's available? Because there may be UCs, undercover officers, or CHSs, confidential human sources on those videos whose identity we need to protect.
Talking about the January 6th situation, that's why. Here's George Hill, who retired from the Boston field office, FBI, okay, saying that the Washington field office wouldn't release the 11,000 hours of videotape because it may reveal the location of their confidential human informants. In other words, their own FBI-owned, controlled informants slash agents inside the Capitol. And that really goes in line with what we've always believed about why they won't release the
Oh,
videotape.
yeah, it's because exculpatory evidence will be revealed. Tucker Carlson already accomplished that.
Yeah, but to the degree that he could. And remember, he was shut down.
But damage done. You can't unring the bell. I mean, there is enough right there, I think, to cast doubt on every J6 conviction.
Exactly right. And that should have been a part of the Durham report. And we also don't know who was planting bombs. You know, there was a bomb found in Washington, D.C. We still
Near DN, the DNC headquarters, wasn't it?
I think it was two different locations.
And, well, Kamala Harris walked by one of the bombs.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions, and we need an exhaustive investigation into all of it. But, you know, nothing's ever being done about it. I frankly, I think the Republicans in Congress need to get busy, you know, and do something about this, have hearings about that. You know, the weaponization of government hearings they're having, I think, are great, but they need to get busy on getting to the bottom of a whole lot more while they still have the House.
The problem is, I don't know that they have the House. As I've, you know, the primary group that stole the election in Arizona in 2022 from Carrie Lake, they were Republicans. We had Chairman Bill Gates of Maricopa County Board of Supervisors take out a PAC with the County Clerk and Recorder of Maricopa County, Stephen Reischer, and the PAC was dedicated to not electing America First candidates, which include the candidates for Attorney General, Secretary of State, and the governor's race. They take money from China. They took money from FTX. I could go on and on, Darren, but what I'm telling you is that the rhinos, I've quit the Republican Party because the leadership is compromised. Mitch McConnell's China's best friend. Rona McDaniel's China's best friend. They pulled funding on eight senatorial candidates across the country in 2022. Six of them lost. All eight of them could have won, but they lost funding at the midnight hour. So it's just as much the Republicans now as it is the Democrats.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. You know, I mentioned earlier Mikhail Khodorkovsky. You know, he there's nothing that's been done about the, you know, that Lynn DeForester de Rothschild is on staff of the McCain Institute, and she's a close associate. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, yeah, I mentioned the connection with Jacob Rothschild and Rupert Murdoch, but there's also so many other things. The Senate passed Resolution 322 in support of Mikhail Khodorkovsky when he was in prison. That was introduced by Joe Biden, then Senator Joe Biden, co-sponsored by Senator John McCain and Senator Barack Obama. But Khodorkovsky also has ties to Bush and the Carlyle Group. That was revealed by the New York Times in an article called "Autumn of the Oligarchs." So you have establishment Republicans, establishment Democrats. What do you do about it? That's the real question, you know. And Khodorkovsky also has ties to George Soros. His organization was the Open Russia Foundation. One other thing about Soros, by the way, have you heard of the Corporate Equality Index?
No. Is that ESG related? Yeah, I
Yes.
know about that, yes.
They're sponsored. There's the reason why you mentioned Anheuser-Busch. I heard him called Transheiser-Busch not too long
Oh,
ago.
that's pretty good.
But
That's good.
The Corporate Equality Index is published by it is a human rights campaign. They use human rights campaign funds on the Corporate Equality Index. That's a George Soros Open Society Foundation's organization. In fact, on the human rights campaign, on their website, they thank Open Society Foundations directly. So a lot of these corporations are falling all over themselves to get on this Corporate Equality
Yeah.
Index.
I have a reaction to that because I think this explains why corporations will make decisions culturally, because we're going through a Maoist cultural revolution, and the reason they'll participate in it to the detriment of their bottom line, like Disney, is because they're controlled by the ESG ratings. And if you go afoul of the ESG ratings, the banks will discriminate against you, so will key government officials, so it's part of the cost of doing business.
Yeah, exactly right. Except that if, can you have a business when people decide to quit patronizing your business, as Anheuser-Busch found out, and so many others, it seems like, in recent
days.
I think
what they're banking on is when CBDC comes in, you won't have a choice. You'll lose your power of consumer discretion.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I'm sure the Chinese social credit score system is, you know, this is how they're going to implement it here in the United States. And so where are we left? What are the people, what are we going to do about it? And I think the only thing that people can do is figure out a ways to trade amongst each other. You know, gold and silver certainly being one of them, but there are other things that you can trade of value, tangible value. And the other thing, you know, it's getting to the point, though. I mean, the problem is you got property taxes you have to pay and stuff. I think there's coming a day where patriot people who really are committed to staying free are going to become kind of like nomads squatting on the land and trying to form communities together and for survival purposes. And this is a very dark scenario that we're facing. But, you know, with this shot thing not too long ago, Michelle and I were seriously talking about leaving the state of Michigan in favor of a state that would be more friendly. At the time, we were looking at Florida, you know, but as so many have moved to Florida from Michigan and other places. But at a certain point, I think we're going to end up forming, you know, communities gathering together to try to help each other survive this, you know. And your certainly your survival skills will come into play.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a dark situation. I've pondered this a lot because I know one thing. I'm not taking any microchip. I'm not taking any Fauci shot. I'm not going to comply. And if that means losing my life, then so be it. Because I have a higher calling, and that's beyond anything that man can do to me.
No, I hear what you're saying, and I'm of the same mindset to you. But the takeover is complete. When you look at the concept of 15-minute cities, CBDC, social credit scores, control of diet, control of travel, I mean, we're right on the cusp of this being brought in right now. This could happen in months.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Fed coin comes in July, and that's a precursor to CBDC.
And you have the debt ceiling mess going on in Congress right now. And that could be the thing that triggers the whole thing. Will they kick the can a little further down the road, or will they continue to? Will they just decide this is where it all dies?
Well, this is my take on this. I think they realize that they have lost the PR game. They're not going to win with the mainstream media. So now they've taken a new tactic, whether it's the Restrict Act or this new proposed law from Senator Bennett from Colorado, which basically they'll tell you what you can and cannot say on the internet. And I'm cutting to the bottom line. But I've read this legislation. It's scary. So what they're going to do is try to shut you up, put you on under an economic dictatorship, because they know that they've lost the battle of public opinion. And I think they need to render us so helpless that we can't dare rise up. We won't have the resources. Although Marjorie Taylor Greene said something interesting, time for a divorce, and we may end up with red states and blue states, and I think she's probably right.
Yeah, and, you know, you were talking about the GOP earlier, and you know, we got the migrant crisis going on. They're flooding the country. You know, Governor Abbott in Texas, you know, I get very frustrated at him for shipping all the migrants to other states, when you should be calling up the National Guard and putting them on the border.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. All he's doing is putting trash under the bed. He's doing nothing to clean it up. Abbott's owned by China. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but the people in the know in Texas that I trust and know, he's very much a Chinese ally, just like so many of our politicians are. You know, to me, people better be prepared to be outside the system. And you mentioned bartering. Absolutely. Although, you know, they'll come after that too.
Absolutely.
But there's a point when people just say, we're not going to comply. I will tell you this. Here's a ray of hope, and I wish we could develop this more. I have someone really close to me, and then subsequently I've talked to two base commanders across the country, and the consensus is this, is that many of the military leaders are not going to follow Biden when we go to war. They're going to prepare to defeat the Chinese in the way they see fit. The thing is I don't know about their chances of success unless they can integrate and coordinate.
Well, there's going to have to be mutinies in the military because we know that they're doing everything they can to purge all the conservatives, all the Christians from every agency, the FBI being one of them, but it's also the military. And so it's going to be interesting in the coming days.
You're exactly right, but Darren. You're exactly right. Hey, we're out of time, my friend, so tell people how they can listen to your show. By the way, I want to give Darren credit. His show was the first show to bring attention to McCain's attempted theft of my property and that of my neighbors without compensation. I was on Govern America back in 2009, and we got the word out. So his show is really good. It's a blend of activism and education, and it's a great show. So tell people how they can listen.
Well, the website is governamerica.com. That's governamerica.com. We're live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. And you can listen live, participate in the chat room, call in if you want. We have a call-in number. And also, or you can listen to the podcast on your favorite app.
Fantastic. My friend, we are flat out of time. We got to scoot, but thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Great job.
I enjoyed it. This was fun. Thank you.